Anyway, we've been addressing some necessary issues that we're facing in the world today. And the Lord's got answers for us, gives us direction from His Word. And I think it's important that we address these things. Last week, we addressed abortion and the jab. We'd looked before at our body belongs to the Lord. It belongs in the human realm to us. It does not belong to the state. And to keep those things in mind. And as we looked at the matter of abortion and the jab, and I shared Herschel Smith's research, and I found some more stuff this week. Every one of the vaccines is produced utilizing human aborted fetus tissue. Every one of them. And now some of them, the tissue's actually in the vaccine. Some of them, they tested the vaccines with the tissues. Some of them try to argue around it and say, well, you know, they call it immortal, I think, is the word they use. That doesn't sound like a very good word. I think I've got it written here. But they call it, like, immortalized. The tissue's been immortalized because they took it from a baby and they kept reproducing and reproducing it. So it's really not the baby's tissue, you see, that they murdered. Well, it wouldn't be there if they hadn't murdered that baby. Well, and then questions have come up of recent about another procedure. And I did a little research into it, enough to satisfy me. This monoclonal antibody treatment that they're pushing now. It's the same circumstance. And in fact, the treatment is being offered because of an agreement between the U.S. government and Regeneron. And this is from the Regeneron website. And also, AstraZeneca has agreed to supply the U.S. with 500,000 doses of the antibody. And again, that's from the AstraZeneca website. I'm not making this stuff up. From the NBC website, quote, an experimental monoclonal antibody cocktail made by Regeneron and hailed by President Donald Trump as a, quote, cure, was tested on cells derived long ago from fetal tissue. Okay, that's, again, that language they throw in there. Research for which Trump's own administration drastically slashed funding last year, so whatever. Quoting from that article, in a statement to NBC News, Regeneron spokesman Alexandra Bowie said that the company used cells from a cell line called HEK293T. These cells date back to the 70s, were originally taken from the kidney cells in a donated fetal tissue. And I researched that line, and it was from an aborted baby in Europe, actually. They don't know the details behind it, supposedly, but it was from an elective abortion. These cells date back to the 70s, were originally taken from the kidney cells of a donated fetal tissue. Since then, the cells have become commonplace in research labs, thanks in part to the fact that they can replicate indefinitely, ensuring they never run out. Because of this, the cells are considered, quote, immortalized. How did they get there, you know? Mm-hmm. That troubles me. Maybe it doesn't trouble you or trouble some other folks, but it troubles me. Continuing, the antibodies themselves weren't made of these fetal cells, Craig Stein noted. But it was really critical to use these cells to test how effective their approach really was. First of all, I don't believe any of these people. But secondly, you know, they admit to using aborted fetal cells. And that ought to concern us. And it's true of the monoclonal thing. It's true of... And I've got to where I have no trust of this so-called modern science. And like the thing I shared with this lady that that we know through a daughter of a close friend of ours who recently experienced two strokes and went blind in one eye, was it? Or both eyes? Went blind in both eyes. The vision came back some. But then after vision came back, she had another stroke, I think the second stroke. But anyway, it was... And then they find throughout her body there were many blood clots, and the doctors had no idea. Had never seen anything like that before. And they knew, though, that it wasn't from the vaccine. I want to tell you something. If these doctors were honest and truly researched things, yeah. Diane's been listening and hearing from renowned doctors and well-known and acknowledged scientists, and she's been studying this and shared it with us all. We all would have expected this, and the doctors were baffled. Can't imagine. There'll be payday someday.
Right.
And God will judge. The verse we ended on last week before I was going to get into some details about abortion, and that's nothing new to us, but it's good to review these things. But Psalm 106, verse 36. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled in their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled, listen here, kindled against his people, insomuch that they abhorred his own inheritance. That's serious business. Payday's coming. And I just shiver to think of what's going to befall America. Now, what are these aborted cells that they try to explain away and say, you know, it doesn't really matter, it was a long time ago, and they're immortalized? The Holy Scriptures uniformly, from the beginning to the end, teach us that life begins at conception. Oh, I just saw this week, and I didn't read all the details about it, but, you know, but the idiot in the White House has now decided that life doesn't begin at conception. He's supposed to be a good Catholic, and those people are supposed to believe that life begins at conception, and he always did. Until now, it's not so politically correct or so politically acceptable or advantageous. So now he doesn't believe life begins at conception again. Now, so when does it begin? Up until the recent perversions of science, it was established life begins at conception. I mean, there's a human being in the womb. And the Scriptures abundantly acknowledge or really set forth, establish that, if you will. Consider David as he writes the psalm. He refers to himself, and he refers to himself as existing in his mother's womb. He says, who was in his mother's womb? It was David. It was him. It wasn't a mass of tissues. Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, he was. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, or incomplete, not yet fully formed, it was still his substance. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God fashioned those things. God formed them things. God had foreordained and predestinated those things. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. He was formed in the womb, and it was David who was in there. And God had already predetermined his extremities, his hands, his feet, even though they were not yet formed. God had determined that. Scriptures also acknowledge legal protections for the unborn. And we see in Exodus 21, some folks try to twist this, but if you clearly understand it in context, it's speaking of the protection for the unborn. Exodus 21, verse 22, when men strive and hurt a woman with child, you know, they're fighting, and they injure a pregnant woman, so that her fruit depart from her. It's her fruit. It's a early birth. And yet no mischief follow. There's no harm to that child that was born early because she'd gotten amidst and in between this fight. He shall surely be punished. If there's no mischief, he's to be punished. According as the woman's husband will lay on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. I mean, if they cause this to happen, they're still at fault. They're still obligated. And they're to pay as the man and the judges determine. Goes on. And if any mischief follow, if because of what they did to this pregnant woman, her child dies, and if any mischief follow, then shalt thou give life for life. The scriptures there are pretty clear, and yet some folks say, well, see, it's saying if there's an abortion, it really doesn't matter. It's not really mischief. Yeah, it's exactly opposite of what scripture's saying here. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. It's murder. And deserving of capital punishment. That's what abortion is. Oh, I understand. People are ignorant. And people are misled. And people are... It's murder. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The Bible acknowledges protection for the unborn. And again, David understood and recognized that he was a person before he was born. Psalm 51:5, another interesting verse. Again, some people on initial reading misunderstand what's being said. David says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David was shapen. And he was shapen. Iniquity and sin there refers to our total hereditary depravity, not to something his mother did. He was shapen in iniquity. In sin, David was in sin. We're all born with a sin nature. We're all born with the fallen nature of our father Adam, with total hereditary depravity. Behold, but he's, who was it though? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Scriptures point out as well, you know, concerning the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb. It wasn't some unknown mass of inhuman cells It was Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5, the prophet says, quoting God, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. I had something for you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That mass of cells that was in the womb was ordained a prophet to the nations, because that was Jeremiah. And God knew that before. And he formed within the womb of his mother. One of the special cases we see in Scripture concerning John the Baptist. I mean, was this just a mass of cells that was in the womb of Elizabeth? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit before he departed from his mother's womb. It wasn't a mass of cells. It was a person. God's elect are filled with the Holy Spirit. And John's case was a very special case. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Luke 1 and verse 15. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." That was John the Baptist that was in there. And yet some of these idiots tell us it's not human till it's born, till it takes the first breath. And pretty soon they'll be telling us, you know, as long as they're helpless and they can't exist on their own, then it's okay to eliminate them. And I've heard those arguments made that says that, it's just a logical step from the next. They say, well, you know, that's an invasion. Someone has a right to expel react against an invasion of their body. That baby's an invasion of their body. No, it's a person. Mm-hmm. And within the mother's womb, it's a person. And it's a person within that womb. It's not a matter, abortion's not a matter of my body, my choice, because there's another body involved. There's another person involved. The scriptures make it clear here that if mischief is done to that person, that it's to be eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Life for life. And again, the very special case of John the Baptist, who was quickened in the womb. Before he had physical birth, he experienced the spiritual birth. Now we know the elect of God are the elect from before the foundation of the world. John was elect before the foundation of the world, but he was still, even as David, shapen in iniquity. He had the sin nature, the fallen nature, the total hereditary depravity, and yet within the womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was quickened of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures make that abundantly clear in Luke 1 and verse 41. "And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," what the babe leaped in her womb. The babe that leaped in her womb was a babe, not a mass of tissues. "When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Speaking to Mary, her cousin, who was with child of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Then she says, for as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist leaped in the womb of his mother. When his mother came in the presence of her cousin Mary, who was with child of our Lord. And yet folks just want to dismiss all this. They're like, it really doesn't matter. Throughout Scripture, beginning then, those that are in the womb are referred to. This shouldn't be too big of a shock. They're the same as persons who have already been born. They're the same person who will be born. And in relations to others, they're the same as persons who have already been born. There's no distinguishing. And again, until recent years, that was acknowledged by medical science. And I don't know what to call the thing that we deal with by and large today. But it's not true science. It's politics. It's economics. It's all sort of things, but it's not science. And Paul spoke of these things to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and the oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, Paul here is acknowledging there's such a thing as genuine science. But that which opposes the Word of God and the proclamation of God's Word is science falsely, so called. The perversions we see out there. And as we mentioned when we got started, here's doctors who should know better, who have studied medicine long and hard. We've never seen anything like this before. We know it's not the vaccine. And yet, doctors who have critically looked at this and considered this from a truly scientific perspective knew this was happening and knew this was going on. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and the opposition of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. You know, folks are being drawn away, misled. You know, and I'm sorry for the folks who were misled. I'm sorry for the folks that sat under preachers who should have known better and maybe did know better but said nothing. It's like, well, that's not my place. Yes. Well, what is your place then? And if you've already done something in ignorance, even if it was earlier on in your life that you allowed an abortion to be performed, God can forgive this, but you have to confess. You have to repent. If you did something in ignorance, if you did something, and today people are doing all kinds of stuff out of abject fear. And they talk about, well, I know so-and-so died, and so-and-so died, so I'm going to go get the jab. Maybe you better study that a little bit first. And if you've submitted to the jab, you know, just trust God. Go forth trying to take care of yourself as best you can, as he would provide, and research these things. But most folks just have a hard time admitting that they were in error, that they did something wrong. I find out that these folks get extremely mad.
Mm-hmm.
Some lady was having a discussion on her page. And we've corresponded, and we're like-minded on many things. And she had COVID, and she was going to go get the monoclonal thing. And I said, well, maybe you should think about it a little bit anyway. Research it a little bit. She wanted to know if anybody knew anything about it. Well, she asked. So I told her. And I gave her links, like I read at the beginning here. These companies that admit they've used aborted fetus tissues or immortalized aborted fetus tissues, whatever that means. And I saw that whole string, that whole line of discussion on her page was gone. She just deleted it. I don't think she wanted to deal with it. You know, could have left it there for others to look at and consider, or maybe she considered, but no, it was gone. Now, I can't say what she did, but I suppose she went and got the treatment and it, whatever. You know, that's up to her. She's going to have to answer for that. But we ought to seek to do these things with our eyes wide open. And again, I just read a fellow today that tried to explain that and compare it to somebody who got murdered, and then they took their organs and gave them to people who needed them. Okay? So, trying to justify what they're doing with the border. You see, the problem was, that person died because somebody murdered them. And abortion is murder. And then to perpetuate this, and what they would like to do, and eventually they'll get around to it, they would like to have all kind of fresh tissue from all, and it was made illegal in the, and I still don't believe them. Who knows what they're really doing? It was made illegal, so they take these things from back, supposedly in the 70s, and immortalize them. Continue to use them. What is a fact, at least if all these vaccine companies are to be believed about anything, and I think if they were going to lie, they would lie about this, they all admit that they've used various strings and lines of abortion-derived cells. And again, I encourage you, if you don't believe me, go. I can send it to you. You can find it. It was in our paper. Herschel Smith researched this. He's got the exact streams that were used in each and every vaccine. And when I say each and every vaccine, I'm not even just talking about the ones in the U.S. He went through like 30 different ones, including the ones from Russia and Israel and every place else. And they try to say, well, it's highly unlikely that the cells from the aborted babies themselves are really there. Well, how did they get there if it isn't that? They've manipulated them. They've replicated them. But those immortalized cell lines would not exist if it hadn't been for the original aborted baby. And I have issues with that. Now, we could go into other aspects, and we deal with that more in our free floor first. And Diane shared with us, mm-hmm. on top of all this, it doesn't work.
Right.
And not only does it not work, but it's positively harmful. Like the lady that we're discussing now. I mean, can you imagine have tiny blood clots all over through your body? Because, and of course, recently they found shavings of stainless steel in the injections. That might have something to do with the blood clots too. That and the spike proteins. I don't understand it all, but I know it can't be good. And those that producing the vaccines and pumping them say, "Well, they're not in harmful levels." Well, what kind of level of shavings of stainless steel you want inside circulating in your bloodstream? I mean, so then you get to this, and we're facing the issue where folks talk about seeking exemptions, you know. Like I say, I refuse. You know, I'm not in some kind of denial or skepticism. I adamantly refuse. I will not. And if you have a conviction, that's where you stand, you see. And sometimes, and depending on how they look at these exceptions, you know, if you'll make an exception here or there, or if you'll make an exception in this case, it becomes a preference as opposed to a conviction. And if it's a preference, it may not be worthy from their view of an exemption, of a religious exemption, because, well, that's your preference. But it's not really your conviction, because in some circumstances you would cave. In order to stand on a conviction, that means you won't cave. That you won't take the jab, period. And if you view it from the perspective that we've presented today, you would say it's murder. I won't be an accessory. I won't participate. Now, having said all that, and from a religious perspective, and it should be for us as Christians, but beyond that, if a person has no religion, they're an open atheist. No one else in the world has any business telling them what they have to put in their body for any reasons. No one else in the world. So even if there was no religious background, but we have that background and we know that it's wrong, even if that person's not a Christian, to foist these things upon them. But it's a violation of what libertarians call the non-aggression principle. You can't tell me what I have to put in my body, for crying out loud. Especially, and they really don't know what the long-term repercussions are. And I don't want to get off on all that this morning, but it's so sad that, you know, we had to have the example here from Becky's friend. I mean, sad. I mean, I don't say, oh, yeah, see, we were right. Lord, help us. It's just sad. Here's a mother of a child, because she was probably pressured into getting the jab. She had to have it to keep her job?
No, I think Becky's refused, but they, you know, she works in the medical field.
They make it more and more, got to do it to keep your job. And I talk to folks. I have folks that say, I really didn't want to, but I kind of had to. Yeah, but what's kind of had to mean? When we're talking about things like this, when we're talking about aborted babies, when we're talking about your own health, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God. And again, if you've got yourself in a hole, you can confess and proceed. That's what God, we've all been in, maybe not this hole, thank God, but we've all been in different holes. And if we confess, we can go on by the grace of God from where we are in obedience and faith. But we have to confess, we have to repent. And may the Lord bring that about. May He open some eyes, because it's going to wax worse and worse. It's going to be more difficult to say no. And by His grace, that's where I stand. And I intend to stand. And I think it's important we address these things. Maybe next week we'll get back to Galatians. Maybe not. Whatever the Lord has. But that's what I'm planning right now. There's something new every day. You can't deal with all of it. But God's got His comforting word for His people. Our sovereign Lord rules and reigns. He sits on His throne. He's accomplishing His perfect will. We want to turn the country around. I'm not sure that that's what God has planned. But he does have planned for his people to stand and to be faithful. And by his grace alone, we can do that. And may he accomplish that in our lives. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing closing hymn, "When He Cometh." And "Even So Come, Lord Jesus," number 180. 180, "When He Cometh." If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we live in confusing, convoluted times. Perhaps not so much unlike the times that someone went before us lived through. But Lord, you've called us to this time. Father, we need your grace. We need your understanding. We need your guidance. We need courage, strength. Father, help us to be discerning. Help us by your grace to fulfill our duties to one another, to our families, especially unto you. Father, we pray for those who need your healing. We especially, again, think of that young lady that has a family and is suffering the ill effects of so-called vaccinations. Many others that no doubt we don't hear about and probably never will. Because the wicked establishment assures us that it's something they've never seen before, something that can't be associated with what they've done, what they've inflicted upon people. Father, we thank you that you're a righteous God, that you're a just God. Deo Vindici. Father, help us to trust in thee as we ought, to love thee and one another as we ought. By your grace, to walk in your way. Lord, thank you for that love that spanned eternity. For that blood that flowed from Calvary's hill. It causes you to pass over us as undeserving as we are, and yet so deserving of wrath. We thank you for the one who endured our wrath, suffered our punishment. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life, drew us to yourself. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.